a 20th digital studio film. Tall grass and the leafy low-hanging branches of a tree sway in the wind. A naked man steps into an opening in the branches. He steps away from clothing neatly hung on two sagging branches. A long rectangular pond covered with scum stretches out in the gloomy light. The surrounding foliage reflects in its dark waters. Two boots sit beneath the hanging clothes. A folded up piece of paper sticks up out of one boot. The man steps into the pond. The muck and water bubbles around his feet. He trudges deeper into the pond. The wind combs through his hair. He pauses, now waist deep. The man plunges into the murky water. A title appears, Matriarch. A graffiti-covered stairway leads down into a tunnel. Cars move to and fro across the streets around it. A middle-aged brunette woman in a windbreaker and running shoes rushes out of the tunnel and up the stairway. She runs steadily down the street. The woman, Laura, opens a door to an apartment, then shuts it as she slides her shoes off. She slips her windbreaker off, then hangs it on a wall hook. Laura steps down the hall and through a doorway leading to a kitchen. She sets a key down on a table. On the kitchen island sits a bottle of amber-colored liquid, a bowl of fruit, and a knife set. Stepping away from a refrigerator with a container of milk, she turns to the island. She pauses, then plucks an apple from the bowl of fruit. She looks through a hole in the top at rotting apple flesh. Laura slices the top off. She sits at her table and eats from a bowl with a spoon. The excised part of the apple sits by her hand. Wearing earphones, Laura plays a piano in her living room by a couch and glass coffee table. She walks into a neatly organized bathroom and pulls a towel from a metal fixture attached to a gray tiled wall beside the shower. She neatly folds the towel and places it in front of her toilet before kneeling on it. She forces her fingers deep down her throat. She vomits into the toilet. Strings of bile dangle from her lips. She opens a trash drawer and pulls a half-full bottle of clear liquid from it. She takes the cap off. Wearing a dark suit, the woman swigs from a thermos. Laura stands in an elevator. She pulls a small spray bottle from her bag, then sprays it in her nostrils. Laura walks through a brightly lit office bustling with people. She slows as she gets nearer to a room with floor-to-ceiling windows for walls, then steps inside where a bespectacled woman in a pink top holds up a poster and examines it. Laura removes her coat.
Morning, Max.
Morning, Trouble.
Max smiles at her.
Bloody hell, Max. It's an advert, not the Mona Lisa.
It's a pitch-winning fucking masterpiece, my love. Enough of that. How was your weekend?
Fine. Chilled.
Alone?
Yep. You?
As usual. Dinner party on Saturday, hungover yoga on Sunday. Living la vida mediocre.
Laura wipes her nose with a tissue.
Still got that cold?
Can't seem to shift it.
Seems like you've had it forever.
They trade looks as she sits at a computer.
Jamie couldn't come to drinks on Friday.
I will come to drinks if we win it.
We will. And it'll be because of you. You're cold, though. You know I'm always here if you want to talk.
It's a cold, not cancer.
You should come out sometime. Hang out with some humans. You might like them.
Max steps out of the office. She pauses at the door and casts Laura a significant look. Laura nods and smiles. Then Max slides the glass office door shut and leaves. Laura wipes her nose. Laura's reflection stretches out in front of her on the polished black surface of her desk as she types. She moves through a parking lot where a woman pulls bags out of her trunk near a young woman holding a baby.
Oh, for God's sake. Can't you wait till you get inside?
She's hungry.
Laura eyes them.
Babies need to feed.
And learn some bloody patience. I didn't feed her whenever she opened her mouth.
Is she always like this?
What?
I said, is she always like this?
Jesus.
What? What's she doing?
No, I didn't do anything.
She's breathing vodka all over him.
Did something die inside your mouth? I've got mint somewhere. Here.
She holds mints out.
Fuck off!
Mum, are you okay?
Sorry.
The pair watches Laura hurry away. Laura takes a swig from her thermos in her apartment. She pulls the liquor bottle from a drawer and unscrews the cap before setting it by her sink. She pours clear liquid from her thermos into the bottle. She places the liquor bottle in the trash bin. She snorts the nasal spray. Sitting on the couch, Laura unscrews the nasal spray bottle. Her phone and a credit card sit on the coffee table. She pours out a small mound of white powder from the bottle onto her phone screen. She shapes the powder into a line with her card, then snorts it. She wipes a finger across the screen, then sucks on it. She puts her phone to her ear as the name Katrin appears on the screen. Laura reclines on her couch.
Hey, gorgeous. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. It hasn't been that long, has it? Well, let's put that right, shall we?
A woman removes cheetah print heels in Laura's apartment. Laura sips from a glass of wine near another woman with blonde hair, Katrin. They kiss and step back to the couch. Katrin sits and Laura straddles her. Laura snorts a line of white powder from the coffee table and grins. Katrin caresses her back as they make out on the couch, then kisses Laura's chest.
Hey, Katrin, do you want to move in?
Katrin lies back and eyes her.
Sorry, what?
Do you want to live with me?
Katrin smiles.
I smiled.
A friend. Girlfriends. Whatever.
Which one?
Laura opens and shuts her mouth. Katrin regards her.
Dort war er nicht bist. Dort ist das Glück.
Are you having a seizure?
It's from the end of a poem.
The Wanderer.
It's my dad's favorite, actually. Whatever one is not, that's where happiness is.
Laura turns from her to cut another line of powder.
Hey. Where's this going, Laura?
Up my nose. Unless you're offering to blow it up my asshole.
Laura grins and snorts the line. Katrin's face drops.
You know what? It's late. I mean, it's early. I need to be at work in 4 hours. It was nice to see you again. Really nice.
No. There's no point trying to sleep now. Straight through crew. You can do it.
Coffee is your friend.
Yeah.
Who's your friend, Laura?
Will you be my friend?
I just wish you could be...
What, happy?
Yeah.
No one's fucking happy. If people were happy, I wouldn't have a fucking job.
Laura smiles tightly, then snorts another line.
Wow. All right. I'll leave you to it.
Laura gapes as Katrin stands and walks off. Laura grins stiffly. She stares across the room. She makes a face, then shakes her head. Laura purses her lips. She dances lethargically with a bottle of wine in her hand. She cuts up a small amount of the powder. She paces around her living room while staring at her phone. She snorts the powder off of the coffee table, then pinches her nose. She dances while taking a deep drink from the wine bottle. Laura sits on the couch with her phone in hand. Daylight streams past the blinders covering her windows. She sets her phone down and rigidly rubs her knees. Wearing a dark suit and pants, she stands at the sink in her bathroom. Eyeing her reflection in the mirror, she roughly applies lipstick with a trembling hand. Laura smears her lipstick and drops the tube. Laura clutches her chest while her eyes bulge. She sinks to the floor, then collapses. Her fingers twitch, then go still. She lies inert on the bathroom floor, eyes partially open and glassy. A sheet of black liquid oozes from the shadows of the hall and through the doorway. It ripples toward Laura. Lake glistens across the liquid surface as it travels closer to Laura's slack face. The liquid tapers while it slides to her lips. It oozes its entire contents into her mouth until it vanishes from the floor. Laura's dull eyes stare unblinkingly toward the floor. A pale, gnarled hand reaches out through a void, palm up. It stretches its fingers out. Laura's eyes rapidly blink. She brings her hands to her face while her eyes dart around. She lifts her head and looks around the bathroom. Eyes glimmering with tears, she crawls across the floor. She stumbles away from a building, her coat on and bag slung over one shoulder. She eyes the young woman as she cradles the baby by her car. Laura woodenly moves down the sidewalk. She stiffly advances, face pallid and lips smeared with lipstick. A white, bubbling liquid oozes across the asphalt toward her. Laura's gaze shifts from the white liquid to an overturned milk carton sitting by two plastic bags. Oranges, apples, and bananas lie near it. The young woman looks from her baby to Laura, lips bloodied. The woman holds the baby out to Laura, its face crumpled and streaked with blood, and its skin mottled gray. Laura gapes and hurries back. Laura lifts her head on her couch. Her face tenses. She looks down at several messages on her phone. Messages from Maxine read, "Hi, just checking in to see if you are on your way into the office and everything is okay. Don't forget we have that pitch meeting at 11 today. MX." Others read, "Are you okay? Where are you? Laura, where TF are you? Call me now." Laura replies, "So sorry, worst food poisoning of my life. Back in tomorrow fighting fit." She buries her face into a pillow. Laura covers her face. Laura sits at her computer desk in her office, blank-faced. Max enters. Max eyes her.
Oh, love, you look fucking awful.
I know. Anything else?
No.
She starts to turn away, then grins at her.
Except when you fucking want it. The pitch!
Brilliant.
Laura tears up.
Nice try. Come on, love, go home, I'll get you a cab.
No, I've got work to do, I need to be here.
We can struggle on without you. Seriously, you know that's not the culture here. You're ill. Go home.
I'm a day behind. I just want to get on with it. Please. Please.
Max throws her hands up and shoots Laura a look before leaving her office. Laura types at her computer. Laura rests her head on her fist.
Hi.
What? Are you sure that's what she said?
Yeah, yes, I'm still here. Tell her I'm out. No, tell her I don't work here anymore. Tell her I resigned last year, okay? Be fucking crystal clear with her.
Laura slams the phone down.
What?
Max enters.
Don't talk to me like that, please.
Sorry, Max, it's just... I'm trying to do my job and I've got my fucking mother calling me at work.
Your
and then...
mother?
Max purses her lips.
Your dead mother?
Dead to me, not... actually dead.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Have I not kept you totally appraised of every aspect of my personal life? You are my boss, after all.
Come on, Laura. I'm not just your...
She stares at Laura.
What?
Max taps her nose. Laura wipes her nose and looks at blood on her fingers.
Oh. You must have a tissue in
here. Oh. I want my bag.
Max reaches into the bag with her.
Leave it! Let me...
Laura wipes herself with a tissue.
Right. Enough. You are done with that shit.
They're watching, aren't they?
Fuck them! Laura!
I can't stay here. I quit. I'm sorry.
You need help, sweetheart. Let me help you!
I'm not your project! It's not my fault your daughter died!
People crowd around Laura's office. Max stares at Laura, tight-faced.
Sorry, Max.
What is wrong with you?
Laura's face crumples, then she grabs her coat and hurries past the crowd and out of the office. Laura enters her apartment. She sits by her coffee table and rummages through her bag. She pulls out the wadded-up tissue and finds black stains all over it. She crumples it up, then pulls her phone from her bag. She puts her phone to one ear.
Katrin? Hi. Yeah, I'm sorry, but... Oh, okay. No, of course I understand. It's fine. Forget it. Bye.
Laura hangs up. Her face wrinkles tightly and her eyes shut. She opens her eyes and stares toward the ceiling. Her expression hardens, then she drops her phone and covers her face with both hands. Sitting on her couch, Laura hugs her knees. The room's single lamp partially silhouettes her. She sinks her face into her arms. Laura stands in her kitchen, holding an arm over the sink and a kitchen knife over her arm. She drops the knife. She pulls her arm from the sink and turns around. Her eyes briefly shut. Laura stares off, then slowly blinks. She looks up and her face firms. She sits by her coffee table with her phone in hand and works her jaw. She taps the screen, then brings it to her ear. Laura's face strains.
Oh, come on.
A person with painted nails holds a hand out to a cell phone. She picks it up.
Hello?
Laura's lip quivers.
How did you find me?
Laura? Is that you?
How did you find me?
I looked you up in the internet. It wasn't hard. You've made quite a name for yourself.
Laura trembles and clenches her jaw.
What do you want? Are you dying?
Everyone's dying.
Laura looks down.
I want to know how you are.
Laura's eyes shine with tears.
Right now, or generally for the last 20 years?
Well, you could have contacted me. You obviously remember the number.
Is that why you called me at work, to have a go at me for not calling you? Is this really happening? Fuck off!
No, wait. I just... Look, I know it's been a long time, but... Well, I'm still your mother. And a mother knows I had a feeling that you were in pain somehow. Are you?
Her face crumples.
Laura.
She squeezes her eyes shut. She opens her eyes.
Things could be better. I'm getting by, it'll pass.
Will it?
Her face strains, her eyes glisten.
Why don't you come home?
Why would I do that? How would that help? How could you help? Why would you do that? You hate me.
No, that's not true. That was never true. I lost your father. I don't want to lose you too.
Laura shifts around in her chair. A sedan moves down an empty road winding past marshland and hills dotted with transmission towers.
I'm so pleased. This is the right thing, a wonderful thing for both of us.
The sedan passes over a bridge.
Can't wait to see you.
Laura's mom sets her phone down, then plants her face in one hand. The sun shines weakly through the thin branches of a tree. The sedan parks near a sign that reads, Morlich Grangton. Laura gets out with a bag. The sedan pulls away. Laura walks down a rain-soaked road between two tall hedges. She approaches a house. Black fungus covers the bases of clustered mushrooms. A badger rots on the grassy earth near a crushed can. Laura passes a huge stone church. She glances at a board with a poster that reads, Village Service, above a graphic of a cross. Laura pauses by a wooden sign hanging over a cart by a house that reads, Homemade Fudge, £3. Five plastic-wrapped bundles of fudge sit in the cart. Laura drops her bag, then pulls out a bill. A woman steps out from the house nearby.
Haven't you got anything smaller? £20 is six bags worth, and I'd rather you didn't clear me out. My fudge is very popular in the village.
Laura stares.
I'm sorry, do you not speak English?
I'll just take one bag then, don't worry about the change.
Actually, no. I think I'd rather not sell them. Any of it.
Fine. Just take the fucking money.
Sorry, Mrs. Dent.
I knew I recognised that voice. You've stolen a lot more than £20 worth over the years.
Mrs. Dent eyes Laura.
So you knew it was me, did you? Thanks for not grassing me up.
To your mother. I wasn't going to stop selling my fudge on account of you.
How could Celia stop you selling it? I don't understand.
Of course you don't. You haven't changed at all. I never liked you. Or your friend.
Mrs. Dent continues smiling. Laura turns from her, then drops the bill into a metal tube by the fudge sign. Laura grabs her bag and walks away. Mrs. Dent stares at her as she goes. Laura pauses by a metal gate and looks out at a worn shack in a field past it. She walks off. Laura passes a red car. A middle-aged man and woman sloppily make out in the back seat. she chews on his tongue. Laura walks to a tall black gate with an X worked into the center of the design. A cobblestone house stands beyond it. Laura collects herself, then pushes one half of the gate open and steps past it. Laura shuts the gate. She rigidly walks to the front door of the house. Laura steps back, clenching her jaw. A thin woman with a lightly wrinkled face and long dark hair smiles at Laura.
Mom?
Oh, I've missed that word. Say it again.
Laura gives Celia a hard look. Celia steps aside and allows Laura into the house. Celia shuts the door.
This isn't how I remember it. Things change. You haven't.
Is that a compliment?
Where did you get the money?
I haven't been under the knife.
Did you win the lottery?
Right now, it feels like I have.
Can you just not?
Why don't we go for a little stroll in the garden? You used to love playing in there.
Laura stands woodenly.
Maybe a cup of tea first.
Celia walks off.
I wasn't playing, I was hiding.
Laura walks into the kitchen with her arms crossed as Celia turns the stove off. A kettle and two teacups sit on the counter in front of her. She turns and smiles at Laura. Laura peers through a partially open pair of double doors at a piano in another room. Laura steps to the piano and eyes it. Laura walks back into the kitchen while Celia pours the tea.
Still got the rack then.
Did you really hate the piano that badly? I was going to ask you if you still played.
Celia sits at a small table. Laura takes the seat across from her.
Calling it the rack is a bit much, don't you think? Whatever else I may have done, I never hurt you. Physically, not ever. It's just words.
Just words?
Yes.
Laura turns away tensely.
Sugar? Just what?
Laura stands.
I've got some words for you. You narcissistic, sadistic, evil fucking bitch!
She sweeps the dishes off the table, then gawks. She bolts.
No!
Celia runs after her. Laura sits on a bench outside the church with her bag. Fading sunlight falls in patches onto the building and the surrounding trees. A vein bulges on her forehead as she rubs her face.
Hi, Laura.
Laura looks up at a dark-haired woman.
Abby. What are you doing here?
Laura gapes at Abby, then shakes her head.
Escaping. What are you doing here? Same.
They regard one another.
Seen your mum yet?
Yeah.
How's it going? Badly. Very badly for a teapot. 20 years gone, but she still seems to know where all my buttons are.
You're gonna rant at me about what a bitch your mum is?
Just like old times.
Abby furrows her brow.
Everything here is just like old times. You're the first person I've seen who actually looks like they've got any older since I left.
Thanks.
But it's weird that. Doesn't anyone fucking die around here?
She's over there. 10 years next month. Cancer.
Laura stares.
I'm such an asshole. Sorry, Abby.
Just you to say the wrongest thing possible.
Is your dad...
He's too angry to die.
Go on. Go back to your mum.
Whatever she may look like, she's old. Don't leave it too late.
Laura's expression shifts. She stands and grabs her bag.
I might be around for a while, so...
Abby gives a slight nod, then looks to the ground. Laura walks away. Abby reaches into her coat and puts a phone to one ear.
She's coming back.
Abby chews her lip and shakes her head. Laura stands in Celia's house.
See? It's all gone. Never happened. Let's clear the air with a nice stroll around the garden, shall we?
I just want to lie down.
But the fresh air...
I've just been outside.
Of course. Do you remember where your old room was?
Laura climbs a narrow staircase. She presses a door open. Laura enters a small white room. She sets her bag down by a bed, then removes her coat while walking to a window partially covered by floral curtains.
Glass of water?
Celia places a glass of water on a nightstand.
I'll start dinner when you come down. Sleep well.
Celia smiles and leaves. Tight-faced, Laura turns to the window. Celia sits motionless on a white sofa in a pink room. Dusk falls over the house. Celia enters Laura's dark room. The glass of water sits untouched, and Laura lies inert on the bed.
Laura.
Laura gently rubs her feet together. Celia steps out and shuts the door.
It's actually nice.
Celia and Laura dine at the small table.
When did you get interested in cooking?
I did my best for you, Laura. After your dad did what he did, I was alone. Being a mother, it...
Celia freezes.
Was I that bad, really?
Yes.
I just wanted you to be perfect. It was so hard to have you in the first place. We didn't have fertility treatment and all that in my day.
Or plastic surgery. Come on, you must be nearly 80.
Celia's eyes shift around while Laura gives her a sharp look.
When you're ready to stop making excuses, we might be ready to make up. I think I'll go to bed.
Laura stands and steps away.
Yes, you do that. Have an early night. I'll tidy up.
Laura kneels in front of a toilet. Celia stares at Laura's empty seat. Laura sits on the toilet and looks at a pad attached to her underwear. It's soaked with black ooze.
Oh my God.
Celia wipes away black liquid leaking from her nose with a napkin. She stares at the napkin, then wipes her nose. She wipes the black ooze from her nose with her fingers.
No.
She runs to the sink. The red car sits in the same place on the road. A hand presses against the backseat window. It smears black ooze onto the glass. Laura gets under the covers of her bed. Celia walks in with a glass of water. She swaps it out with the other full glass.
Make sure you drink up your water. Dreaming is thirsty work.
Celia leaves. Laura blinks, then lifts the glass off the nightstand. She sips the water. A nearly full moon hangs in the night sky. Shadows stretch throughout the inside of the house. Celia sits on a bench by the front door and puts on knee-high boots. Celia stands. Wearing a large coat, she walks to the bottom of the staircase and stands motionless. Laura's glass sits empty on her nightstand. She lies under her covers, eyes shut.
Laura. Laura. Laura!
Celia steps to Laura and leans over her. She grabs her face, then squeezes and moves it side to side. Celia straddles Laura. The moon highlights part of her head as she lowers her face toward Laura. Celia lightly slaps Laura's cheeks. Laura remains inert. Celia slaps harder. Laura doesn't move. Celia drags Laura down the staircase. Laura's arms splay out above her as Celia pulls her across the front lawn. Celia grits her teeth as she continues. She pulls her to a rusted greenhouse on the side of the lawn. Celia lowers Laura's legs. Celia unlocks the shed's door. Celia moves Laura's shirt from her eyes, then sprints away to the house. Laura gradually sits up. She looks around.
What the fuck?
She gets to her feet. She hugs herself as she walks to the house. Celia stands behind her bedroom door, holding her ear to it. She steps away from the door and unbuttons her coat. She looks out the room's window to the greenhouse. The moonlight reflects off its many grimy windows. Water bubbles and churns in a well filled with dark, scum-covered water. Dawn breaks over the house. Celia turns over in her bed, her covers wrapped tightly around her. Her eyes pop open, and she touches black ooze dribbling from her ear. It stains part of her pillow. Celia taps a button on a radio in her kitchen. She fills the tea kettle, then slams the lid onto it. She grabs two small plates and sets them down on the counter before putting two small bowls on them. She slams a cabinet door. Laura opens her eyes in her bed. Celia smacks a mixing bowl against the counter. She aggressively beats batter in the mixing bowl. Laura pulls the sleeve of her shirt down and examines bruises on her shoulder. Laura rigidly steps away from her bedroom to the top of the staircase, shoulders hunched. Laura turns toward Celia's bedroom door. She enters Celia's room. Dirt covers her bare feet. She gingerly shuts the door. She inspects the makeup in front of Celia's vanity mirror. She searches through coats and tops on hangers in Celia's closet. Laura kneels by one of Celia's nightstands. She pulls at a ribbon poking out from the top drawer. She opens it, then pulls out a journal with a ribbon curling from it. She opens it to a middle page. The page depicts various symbols with arrows between each. She turns to more pages showing more similar symbols alongside handwritten notes. She flips to a page with the symbols arrayed in columns. Beneath each are, among others, face squat, multiple orgasms, rough play, double pen, and felt pleasure. Laura's eyes widen. Then she grins and turns to another page with dozens more symbols and labels.
You absolute slag. No.
One note reads, big dick, but proper to be a receiver. One reads, Marion, turns out I like penises. Celia slams a pan into the stove. Laura walks in.
That was a lovely long sleep. Pancakes?
Yeah, sure. I took a towel from the airing cupboard, hope that's okay.
Of course, dear, this is your home.
Celia mixes white powder into a jar of jam.
This is a weird question. Did I ever sleepwalk when I lived here? It's a symptom of anxiety sometimes.
Well, I don't remember you being particularly anxious, but you did sleepwalk once in a while. Why?
It doesn't matter.
Speaking of walking, quick stroll round the garden before breakfast?
No. Fuck no, no way.
Okay. Pancakes it is then.
Laura sits at the table while Celia sets two plates of pancakes down.
Oh!
She hurries to the counter.
You must try the jam. The berries are from the garden.
She sets the jam jar on the table before sitting across from Laura. Laura spreads jam onto her pancakes. Celia smiles and closely watches Laura eat.
That's my girl. Eat up.
Eat up.
Laura's eyes narrow.
Do you remember when you threatened to take my mouth shut?
Laura kneels in front of the toilet. Celia stands by the bottom of the staircase. Laura steps down in her running shoes.
Feeling okay?
Yeah, fine. I'll be back in an hour or so.
Oh, I thought we were getting somewhere, you know, talking about things.
We were. Now I can think and work off some energy and then we can talk some more.
I'll come with you. We don't have to talk.
Please don't. I want to go at my own pace.
I haven't seen you for 20 years. I'm not letting you out of my sight.
Celia puts on running shoes while Laura steps outside.
Seriously?
Laura smiles awkwardly, then jogs off with her thermos. She pushes through the gate with Celia in tow.
Wait for me!
Celia stops. Laura glances back at her as she runs.
I won't be long!
Celia's breath frosts as she watches Laura leave. Celia hurries back toward the gate. Laura runs past paper cutouts of pants, arms, and a nude woman dangling from a tree's branches by strings. Words on a paper head read, "Handsome again, thanks." Words on a cutout of a muscular male torso reads, "My old body back, thank you." Laura passes a statuette of a robed woman in a small sculpture of a wooden house by a cobblestone wall.
This disgusting ceremony has to stop. Please listen. Please. It won't last. Money won't be enough. And then what? You'll be left with nothing. Please listen to me. And you'll have lost your soul. Please.
Laura jogs to a group of people. Abby ushers an old man away.
Out for a run?
Yeah. What's the priest's problem?
Ken?
Well, how do you know Ken?
I used to live here.
Times change. It's all just bridge and bingo in there now, and poor old Ken didn't fancy calling out the numbers. Number 3, Holy Trinity.
Bit young for bingo, aren't you?
The man's face tightens into a rigid smile. Laura smiles back, then jogs off. The man, clean-shaven with a neat haircut, watches her go. Laura continues down a narrow road, then quickly stops and looks out at Abby down the road to her left, her phone held to one ear. Abby walks off. Laura turns away, then jogs up to a wooden stairway and across a bridge. She moves past a small metal gate and through a field where dozens of sheep graze. Laura stops, then unscrews her thermos. She drinks.
Laura. Hi. Out for a run?
Laura smiles and bows her head.
You?
Walking.
I wasn't sure you'd see me just then.
Abby shifts her weight.
I'm not following you, Laura.
Okay. Okay.
Come out here all the time. No, live here.
Abby points to the side. Working her jaw, Laura regards Abby.
I had to get away. From her, not you.
You just fucked off. Without a word. Leaving with a dying mom and an alcoholic dad.
If it makes you feel any better, I didn't exactly find paradise when I left.
It doesn't.
You sure you weren't following me? Even a little bit?
Abby smiles rigidly.
Your mum asked me to.
Laura's face drops.
Okay. Yesterday as well, if you must know. What? She wanted to make sure you didn't leave.
Why would you do that?
Laura runs off to the metal gate.
But you're here now! Say!
Laura storms into Celia's house.
You manipulative fucking bitch!
What?
Abby told me.
About what?
That you're using her to spy on me.
I just couldn't risk you leaving.
Well, you fucked that up. Where's my bag? I'm sorry, I just don't want you to go before there's a chance to tell you. I'm dying! I am dying.
Laura stops at the top of the staircase and shuts her eyes. She walks down to Celia.
What? Does it matter?
Laura eyes her. Sitting in a lounge chair, Ken sips from a liquor bottle. He puts a cap on as Abby enters the room with keys.
Did you find them?
It's lying on the ground. Tea?
Oh, please.
Dilute some of that hard stuff.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's your liver you should be apologizing to.
It's to God, actually. I can't serve the Lord if I'm half pissed. And he could call at any time.
Yeah, he's been pretty quiet up until now.
He cured your cancer.
Yeah, sorry. Yes to tea.
Please. I just wish I understood it.
You just put a tea bag in some boiling water.
No. I just wish I understood why he couldn't save you both.
When you were a tiny wee thing, lying there helpless, looking up at me, needing me.
And then what? I grew up, became a person, challenged you.
Celia nods softly. They walk through the woods.
You see, you learn a lot about yourself by having children. I learned I just want adoration.
Is that what Dad gave you?
Yes. Not far to go now.
He abandoned you. Us. Because of me.
He made a mistake. I'm a mess.
Laura's face strains.
So do I.
Celia places a hand on Laura's hand. They stand in front of the rectangular pond in the woods.
But why here? If I'd known what was going on inside his head, I would have tried to stop him, wouldn't I?
They never found his body, though, right?
No. But his clothes were found folded right where you're standing.
Laura glances down, then kneels and stares at the pond. The scum caking the water's surface glistens in the gloomy light.
So he's still down there?
Laura looks up to Celia.
I've never been here before, have I? You never brought me here when I was tiny or anything.
God, no. Why would I do that?
I don't know. Did a lot of strange things when I was a girl. Mum, I've got to tell you something. I don't believe in life after death or God or anything. But the day before you called, I had an overdose. Cocaine. I nearly died. I think. But something reached out to me. Someone, a hand. coming out of that pond. That's what it looked like, anyway. It reached out to me and it saved my life.
It was the spirit of your father. Is that what you're seeing?
I don't know. Maybe.
Celia turns from Laura to the pond. The gnarled trees reflect in the still waters. Laura stands.
If you want to reach out to him, I think I know where his spirit might be.
Ken and Abby sit together.
Dear Lord, we thank you for our food, our home, and most of all, we thank you for Abby's help. It is through your actions that we come to know your love, and we thank you for the courage to live amongst neighbors who loathe and despise us. We know you hear us. Amen.
Amen.
Abby lowers her clasped hands and cuts into her plate of food.
We have more than them. They have turned their backs on God. They've turned their backs on their own children.
Ken shoots to his feet, then stalks to the living room. Abby's gaze rises from her food. A middle-aged man ties a paper cutout to the tree with a string. A drawing of teeth covers the cutout. The words, "Thank you for our lovely teeth," circles it. The man pulls his suit partially open. Wincing, he reaches under his shirt. He closes his suit, then walks off. Laura follows Celia to the greenhouse. Laura stops while Celia slowly continues. Celia turns back to her and smiles broadly, then turns. Smile fading, she advances to the greenhouse. Laura resumes following her. Celia enters a combination in the padlock on the greenhouse's door, then removes it. She opens the door. Laura peers inside. Celia turns to her.
Whenever you're ready.
Celia nods lightly. Laura walks inside. Dozens of withered plants and terracotta pots fill shelves and racks all around the interior. Laura stares toward the back, where a dense arch of withered ivy hangs over a broad well filled with murky water.
This is even grimmer than the pond.
It was very different back then. Your father had very green fingers. He loved it here.
Celia watches Laura as she inches deeper inside.
Dad? I don't know if you can hear me.
Fuck, what am I doing?
You're doing so well. Why don't you go down to the end?
Laura gives her a look, then turns back to the ivy-wreathed opening. She walks to it.
Keep going.
Dad.
Celia steps away.
We never met. And I don't believe in souls, so I don't know if it could have been you, but I just wanted.
Celia slowly raises a pot over Laura's head.
I wanted.
Laura shakes her head, then turns. Celia sets the pot aside.
Fuck this.
Laura, stop!
He killed himself because he couldn't bear to be a dad. Why would he save my life?
Maybe he'll tell you if you give him a chance.
Get off!
I won't let you leave until you've at least tried properly. Come on!
There she is. I was wondering where you'd got to. Let me go. Let me go.
I'm dying, remember?
Sooner than you think if you carry on like that.
Laura rushes out of the greenhouse. Celia turns back to the well. It bubbles. Laura grabs a framed picture of a young man and woman in a tuxedo and wedding dress from an assortment of other pictures on a drawer.
Fuck you. No!
She smashes the picture.
I loved him.
He gave you life.
Laura cranes her head back.
Why don't you go upstairs for a nap? I'll bring you some water.
I don't want a nap. I want...
Maybe I should just leave.
No!
No, no, no.
Celia grabs her arms.
I'm frightened.
Laura clenches her jaw.
I never thought about what it must have done to you. To be abandoned like that. Broke my heart.
Celia nods and hangs her head. Laura regards her, then turns her face.
We've never talked about this, have we?
Laura shakes her head.
Why don't I make us some tea?
After what happened before.
As luck would have it, I collect teapots.
Celia smiles and walks off.
Thought you collected cocks.
Celia freezes.
Sorry. I read your diary.
Celia's eyes dart around.
Okay.
She turns to Laura.
Cheeky.
Laura watches Celia leave. Celia crushes up white tablets on a glass plate in the kitchen with a spoon.
Noisy little bitch.
Black ooze drips from her face and onto her fingers. She raises her trembling hands. Celia digs her fingers into her mouth. She stumbles back.
Mom?
Laura runs into the kitchen.
Mom, you okay? Get out. I shouldn't have read it. I'm sorry. Get out.
Laura hurries out while Celia bends over the sink, her face hidden by her hair. Celia pulls out a worm from her black smeared mouth. She stares at the wiggling worm, then drops it. Celia stomps on the worm. She holds her hands under her mouth and catches the black ooze drooling from it. Laura passes the red car. Black liquid smears the interior. The man raises a hand from his crotch. Black ooze coats his fingers. The man and woman jerkily kiss on the back seat, their faces slathered with black liquid and their hair matted. Laura steps past a metal gate. The mouths of the man and woman melt into each other. His eyes dart around. Laura walks to the wooden shed in the field. Abby steps out with a cigarette. She takes a drag.
You following me now? Got a spare?
Celia sits at her vanity mirror. She frantically searches through her makeup, knocking some of it on the ground. She taps her phone and roughly brushes foundation onto her face.
Celia, what do I...
Service is cancelled.
Cancelled?
My daughter is...
But...
Don't interrupt me, Leonard. As I'm sure you're aware, my daughter has arrived unexpectedly. Tell everyone.
But... Celia...
Go away!
She prods her phone, then covers her face. Black liquid dribbles onto her mirror's makeup shelf. Laura and Abby sit on the entrance of the shed, smoking.
The weirdest fucking day.
Laura eyes a rooster weather vane on the top of the church.
The only cock in the village my mom hasn't had.
How do you know? I read a diary.
You didn't.
She marks them out of 10 dozen.
And draws these fucking weird diagrams. Sexual positions, I can only imagine.
No. So is it all a bit too much, or do you think you're going to hang around for a bit?
Why, you're not miserable enough.
Abby gives her a steady look.
Sorry.
They trade looks, and Laura puts out her cigarette.
I'm just not what you need.
They look into each other's eyes, and Abby's expression softens. The long-haired man knocks on Celia's door.
Celia, may I speak with you, please?
Celia paces inside.
Let's not have a fuss. Please, come on, Celia, open the door.
I'll bring his fucking neck.
Celia swings the door open.
I made myself very clear.
You did, but...
Who put you up to this?
No one. I mean, there's been some discussion in the village.
Oh, there was there?
Well, it's just... Well...
Oh, Leonard, you talk like a fuck! Just get to the point!
All right, then you can't just decide on a whim to delay everything.
I can do whatever the fuck I want, Leonard.
No! Unacceptable. There's a quid pro quo. There's an arrangement. You give us what we need and we give you what
I know what a quid pro quo is. And you've got nothing I need. None of you have.
Celia, it's run like clockwork for 20 years and suddenly you want to cancel it.
Postpone it. My daughter has arrived.
She can wait. This can't.
He shows her a black oozing wound on his chest.
You sit at the back. Take your turn last.
Abby pushes Laura into a wall of the shed as they make out. Abby presses Laura's arm to the wall, then pulls it back. A black stain grows on Laura's arm.
The fuck!
Abby gawks as the black spot grows.
No, what is that?
I don't know. My mum says she's dying.
What?
I think I'm dying. A few days ago, I overdosed, and since then, shit has been coming out of me.
Okay, wait, go back. Cecilia is dying, but what's that got to do with you?
She's my mum.
Yeah, but you're not connected.
She's my mum.
Yeah, you never... Jeez. Okay, all right. Find out what the fuck is going on and call me. Okay, promise?
Yes.
Yes. Abby leaves. Laura rushes to Celia's house as Celia steps out.
Mom, I need to talk to you. Your face.
Everything's fine. Just wait for me in the house.
Where are you going?
Just go to the village.
What? Why?
Trust me. Trust me. Everything's going to be fine. You're home now. You're safe.
Celia gets in a car. She inspects her mottled face in the mirror. She flutters her hand, then pulls her seatbelt on. Laura watches her drive off. Laura bursts into Celia's room. Laura paces around the room, then cranes her head back. A large crowd streams into the church. Laura opens a cabinet and pulls out a liquor bottle. She takes a swig and squeezes her eyes shut.
Oh.
She takes another couple sips and sets the bottle down onto a table. Laura holds her arm up and pulls the sleeve down. Thick tendrils slide up under the skin of her arm.
Oh, fuck. Mom!
Laura steps outside. The clean-shaven man smiles.
I think you better go back inside.
He blocks her.
Shall we dance?
Just piss off, please.
Your mother wants you to stay inside while she's at church. So?
He holds up a cane with a wooden top.
You brought your walking stick.
I'm not going anywhere. Neither are you.
Are you threatening me with a duck?
A hoof. Now get the fuck inside.
Laura turns, then whips around and elbows his face. Sags to the ground. Laura runs away.
Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind, in pure love.
Abby stands in her kitchen. Laura strides to the church. She pauses by the front doors. She walks to a window on the side, then grabs a wheelbarrow leaning on the wall and lowers it to the ground upside down. She steps onto it and peers through the window. Inside, a figure in a robe stands in front of a statue of a woman in a dress. Laura narrows her eyes. The figure, Celia, turns and opens the front of her robe to reveal her bare chest. Laura gawks, while Celia holds her arms out. Black liquid leaks from her nipples and down the curve of her breasts. The congregation, all nude, steps to her. A man and woman suckle at each of Celia's breasts, while the dozens of others crowd around.
He
eyes bulge. The man steps away from Celia and pushes through the crowd. Black liquid smears his grinning mouth. He holds his arms out as others reach for Celia. Celia shuts her eyes and raises her chin as four people shove their faces to her breasts. Laura watches the congregation have group sex. Celia lowers her face and regards the people as they thrust and suck. She hangs her head. Laura's brow shoots up, then she falls off the wheelbarrow. Black liquid leaks from her mouth and dribbles down her face. Her arm's flesh squirms, mottled in black. She wipes at the black liquid as it pours out of her eyes. She staggers to her feet and walks off. Neatly folded piles of clothes sit in a row on the church floor. Celia strides off.
Wait! I haven't had my turn!
Leonard clutches his wound and his face contorts. Laura hurries to a house.
Abby! Abby, open the door!
Get away from here!
Ken, it's me, Laura, Abby's old friend.
Come back to take your mother's milk at last?
No, I didn't have it. I just watched the others. I saw what they do, but it made me worse. What's happening to me?
It's all over.
What's over?
Your father knew the old ways, and soon your mother did. And what she learned changed her and changed the village. Me, Abby, and her mother were the only people to stand firm against the poison of your mother.
What are you saying about my dad?
Go now. I've got to find Abby.
What are you saying about my dad?
Ken glares.
When he went into the marsh, he wasn't taking his own life. He was giving it.
To what?
Something out there, something against God. Ask your mother how she stole its power while you're packing her bags.
You're all fucking mad. I just want a cure.
There's no cure for you. There's only mercy.
I don't want mercy. I want answers.
Answers? They won't save you.
And God will. He didn't save your wife.
Ken glowers, then steps away. He grabs a shotgun near the door and walks back.
I'm going to find my daughter. And you find your mother. And you tell her that God is coming back to this village. Go.
Laura bolts away from Ken down the shadowy road. A sedan sits parked on the road, its lights on. Celia taps at her phone inside. The clean-shaven man grabs Laura. Black stains his mouth.
Look what you did to me, you little bitch!
Where's my mum?
Home by now, I should think. Let's go and join her, shall we?
You weren't at the service. When will you get your milk?
The next time your mum gets a bit of mine.
A figure gathers fudge cubes from the ground with black slathered hands.
Mrs. Dent?
Mrs. Dent lifts a bag of fudge. Her house light shines onto her battered, black-stained face. The clean-shaven man and Laura gawk. He wipes at the black on his mouth.
Right. I'm taking you back home to your mother.
The man pushes Laura to Celia's house.
Celia!
Mom!
Celia!
Mom!
Beyond the greenhouse.
Maybe she's in there.
Celia!
Mom!
Move.
Mom, are you there?
He tries the door's lock.
What's the code?
I don't fucking know.
He shatters a window with his cane.
Celia!
Ladies first.
Laura steps through the window into the darkened greenhouse. The man crawls in after her. The man grabs a lantern.
Celia! Not here.
Let's get out of here.
He shoves her back.
There's no one here. Let's go and find my mom. Ow! There's no one here. I can fucking see that.
Perfect. She said I could hurt you if I had to. I think she wanted me to.
She steps back.
I can see why.
He pushes her to the floor. Laura looks up to the churning well. The man removes his jacket. He smiles thinly at Laura, then drops his coat. He grabs his cane and walks to her. Stepping between her and the pond, he hefts his cane. Laura looks up at him. Dark tendrils expand over the greenhouse's ceiling over the man's head. Laura crawls back.
Where do you think you're?
The man gets lifted off the ground. Laura stares up at a massive, naked, ethereal woman materializing around the man. She cradles him in her arms. The man's eyes bulge as he gawks up at her. Black liquid streaks her body, and thousands of worms wiggle where her mouth and genitals should be. The black tendrils of her hair swirl above, intertwining with the dark, withered ivy.
Please help me!
Gaping, Laura shakes her head. The ethereal woman's eyes turn into black sockets as she bends down. A long tendril made of worms coils out from her jaws and into the man's mouth. Laura tenses as the worms cover the man. The tendril of worms retracts back to the ethereal woman's jaws, leaving him a skeleton. She eyes Laura. Laura scrambles away and crawls out of the broken window. She bolts down the road away from the house, and a car quickly stops just before hitting her.
Celia! You bitch! You were gonna feed me to that thing!
Laura,
Abby,
come with me.
Abby, what are you doing in her car? No. Look, you're part of it.
She's gonna fix us. She's gonna make us better. She's gonna make all of us better. Listen.
After me, please!
Fucking cancer's back! Get in the car!
Abby shoves Laura into the back of the car.
You! Calm down. Why didn't you kill me when I just walked in? I'm just meat for that thing, aren't I?
Oh, you're much more than that.
It ate that friend of yours. Who else have you fed it?
Celia turns to Laura and Abby from behind the wheel, now decrepit.
I haven't fed her anyone. She feeds us. But the earth eats all its children. Eventually.
Celia leads them into her house.
Come on. This way.
Please. Stop.
Abby pushes Laura forward. Laura grabs at a drawer and knocks a vase over. Abby maneuvers Laura to the greenhouse.
Why are you doing this? What has she ever done for you?
Laura clutches the doorframe. Abby pries at her hands.
We don't know what's in there.
Then.
Abby shoves.
No!
Laura falls.
I'm sorry.
Abby helps her up.
To the end.
Let me go. Her power's running out. Can't you see that? Listen to me. It wasn't hers to begin with. Is that what Dad gave himself to?
My husband couldn't give me a child, so he gave himself to her instead. And in return, she seated you inside me. And how did you repay her? By killing yourself. So she had to give you life all over again.
I didn't ask her to. I didn't ask her for anything.
Not your fault. How many times have I heard that? Everything you've taken, you're going to give back right now.
You could give my daughter back first.
Ken scowls with a gun.
When she's done her job.
You don't give orders anymore. You're finished.
Daddy, go home.
I've come to rescue you.
It's you she needed rescuing from, you and your silent partner.
Whoever you grovel to isn't doing you much good, is it? Look at the daughter your husband gave his life for, rotting before your eyes, just like you. You can't help anyone.
Celia smiles.
Just that's your daughter.
Ken looks from Celia to Abby.
Abby? What is this?
Get her over the circle. You know what'll happen if you don't?
Don't turn your back on me!
Queen of rot and rebirth, take your daughter. She's here.
Please.
Abby, what have you done?
Abby pushes Laura to the well. Wisps of smoke coalesce into the ethereal woman, the queen of rot and rebirth. Ken gapes and steps back. He raises his gun. He shakes the gun. Celia shoves Laura into the well. The queen slowly looks to Laura.
Take her! No more dying. For us, are you?
Laura turns over in the well's sludge.
would you ask her for anything?
I'm sorry,
Why
Dad.
Would you ask her?
Because she answers.
What? The miracle.
Ken freezes.
I wanted to live.
I saved her, Ken.
You saved no one.
Celia grins toothily at Ken. Ken grabs a gardening fork from a shelf.
Neither have I. I'm sorry, Abby.
He stabs his neck. Abby pulls at the fork in his neck. Laura turns away from the face of the queen as she looms over and regards her. The queen gently tilts her head. Laura stills and meets her eye. The queen glances up. Gawking, Laura's eyes glimmer with tears. She crawls out of the pond.
No! Don't let her go! Take her! Take your daughter! It's the only way! Why didn't you just kill me?
I'm not a murderer.
Let her go.
Laura aims Ken's gun at Celia.
Everyone in the village will die if she's freed before her powers are replenished. Everyone!
Laura scowls, then shoots at a white circle on the floor. The queen gazes toward them, then fades away. Laura takes aim at Celia.
Move!
Celia eyes Laura, then turns and hobbles to the greenhouse's door. Laura follows her and points the gun at her back. Ken sits against a wall. Abby holds his bloody hands to his slackened face. His dull eyes stretch open. Laura ushers Celia across the lawn, then nudges her with the gun.
Move it, you old bitch.
The congregation in the church bleeds and leaks black ooze. Laura and Celia move through them. The congregation watches them step to the back of the church.
Celia, please help us.
The service, do it again. Help us.
Tell them.
Celia stands in front of the statue of the queen.
Tell them! Tell us what? She can't help you. What she gave to you was not hers to give. But she took your money, your worship, and your husband's. You don't owe her. You owe my real mother. But she's gone forever. And you're all fucked.
Celia, what have you done to us?
I made you young. I gave you life. What have any of you given me that could compare to that?
You've poisoned us.
I gave you what you wanted. I still can. It doesn't have to end.
No, it's finished. We're finished.
We were so happy. You just couldn't stand it, could you? Do you believe me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?
Celia eyes Laura.
Do you see? Now? What love is?
Celia grins. Laura smashes her face with the butt of the shotgun. Celia falls to her knees. She cranes her head back, then collapses. Celia crawls. Laura looms over her and glowers.
Please, I am your mother.
Laura bashes her with the gun.
You're not my mother.
She strikes Celia's head with the gun repeatedly. Celia's head splits open and black ooze pours out.
You're just the cunt I came out of.
Laura walks through the writhing congregation. Laura steps to the piano in Celia's house. Laura sweeps all the framed portraits of Celia and her father off of the cabinet. An empty bottle of liquor sits on the floor by her feet as she slips her pants off. She steps onto the piano's bench, then onto the top of the piano itself. Laura squats and pees on it. She stares off as she pees, then slowly grins. Black liquid smudges her face and hair. Laura trudges into the rectangular pond in the forest. Moonlight shines dimly onto the rippling water. Laura wades deeper into the pond, the water now at her shoulders. She pauses. The murky black water swirls around Laura. She gradually sinks under the surface. Opening credits continued. Jemima Rooper, Kate Dickey, Sarah Paul, Keith David Bartlett, Nick Haverson, Frank Ashman, Anna Frost, in association with Sharp House. Written and directed by Ben Steiner. Produced by Ian Sharp and Owen O'Falian. Executive Producer, David Worthen Brooks. Executive Producer, Arby Pedrosian. Executive Producer, Jenna Cavell. Credits continue. Copyright 2022, 20th Century Studios, all rights reserved. Worm Eater Films Limited is the author and creator of this motion picture for the purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto and for the purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. This motion picture is protected under the copyright laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Distributed by Hulu LLC. Audio description by Point360. Voice by Roy Samuelson. Logo, 20th Digital. If you or someone you know is struggling with an eating disorder, help is available. Visit www.nationaleatingdisorders.org or call the helpline at 800-931-2237.